when I show you the perspective from when our sniper saw, he's on the downside of that ridged roof. Their perspective from the AGR building, looking out, their area of responsibility, looking left, they should have been able to see. You can see in that photo in Exhibit A, which we will make part of the record and turn over to the committee, he's already crossed over that bridge or the walkway and stepped up onto that roof. I'm not saying that they should have neutralized him, but if they'd have just held their post and looked left, maybe.
Ronald Rowe, the interim director of the Secret Service, testifying in front of Congress last week about what he clearly claimed was the failure of the local SWAT team to hold their post, to look left, to do their job, when subsequent reporting indicates that they were behind a screen in a closed window inside the building, a foot to 3 feet. The gun was a foot. The people were 3 feet off of the window where they couldn't even see, because you have to put your head outside the window to see that the image he was showing of the rooftop visibility was fake news, that they would not, and they were instructed not to be outside because they were supposed to be a concealed unit. It's unbelievable. Joining us now, we have Sheriff Santa Rosa County Sheriff Bob Johnson. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir. You've heard all of this and the blame of local law enforcement. Thoughts?
Yeah, shocker. You know, to me, the local SWAT team is not charged with protecting, you know, DBs. So it's the one job of the Secret Service is to protect their dignitaries. And so for them to blame anybody else other than their complete and utter failure is pretty bad. But, you know, you come to expect it with this administration that we currently have in Washington and all the people they put in charge of all these different agencies. You expect it. Nobody takes responsibility at the federal level anymore. It's all everybody else's fault. We're just minding our own business and running the country into the ground. So we're busy doing that, so we don't have time for other things like protecting presidential candidates.
Your guys on SWAT, they hear this.
Yeah.
I mean, how demoralizing is it to them to hear local law enforcement get thrown under the bus and then to think about the prospect of them being asked to interface with the Secret Service on some protective mission in the future? I mean, Trump is going to come to Pensacola. Yeah. You got to figure, you know?
Yeah. And then of course, anything happens and it's 100% our fault, because God knows they're not going to take responsibility for anything. And, you know, those snipers, the Secret Service snipers, yeah, they're the ones at fault 100%. 100%. They can't say that, well, we didn't see him or he was out of range. I mean, you're talking 130 yards here. 130 yards, I can train a 10-year-old kid with a AR to take that shot and make it 10 times out of 10. So there's no way that with the optics they have that they did not see him. There's absolutely no way, unless they were just sleeping or something. So it is 100% the fault of Secret Service. And, you know, them blaming other people, it's like I said, it's not a shocker with the current administration. I kind of expected it.
Amazing stuff. Well, turning back here to local, I mean, that is a local matter, because the issue of the ability for them to work with local law enforcement is a big deal. You guys had a report last week that you were finding some skimmers on some local ATMs, right?
Yeah. And, you know, it happens, and it's weird how it happens. It kind of comes and goes, but you have these teams of people that go across not only just our state, but Alabama and Georgia, and they'll come into an area and they'll put them out and they'll work them for, you know, a couple of days, and then they'll move on to the next county and keep doing it. And, you know, it takes a lot to catch them in the act, but we've broken up a couple of rings over the years of people doing this. Our interdiction team on I-10 pulled over a car that had a bunch of skimmers and different things. This was probably 8 months ago or so, and arrested a couple of people with some blank credit cards and all kind of different things. So, you know, they come through time to time, and then they move on. So, but the main thing is if you're using an ATM and anything looks odd, and I mean anything at all, just don't use that ATM. Go to another one. And also, when you're using ATMs, protect your PIN, because they'll set up a little camera so they can watch you put your PIN in. So cover that pad when you put your PIN in.
Is it almost always or always ATMs, or is it ever like, you know, gas station pumps and things like that?
No, we've had them at gas station pumps as well.
Okay.
Yeah. Any place that you can use your card, they can pretty much put a skimmer.
Okay.
The ones that usually are safer are the ones that are inside stores because they know they're on camera. So,
gotcha.
You know, when they're in there trying to put in a skimmer like in a convenience store or something, they know they're on camera. So usually they don't do that. It's usually the outdoor ones is where they put them.
Sheriff, you make me think of, I'm going to use an analogy and you tell me if I'm thinking about this the right way. The skimmers design the skimming device to not be easily noticed. But if you've used a credit card a lot, it's kind of like if you were ever a cashier and you see thousands and thousands and thousands of bills, and then you see one that was like a legitimate bill, but it was printed in the 30s, it looks weird and you notice it. If you see one that's counterfeit, it looks weird and you notice it. And I'm guessing that part of the defense mechanism is if it looks weird, pay attention. Am I thinking about this the right way?
Yeah, you are, because they'll never be able to exactly duplicate the machine that you're used to using. They'll never be able to exactly duplicate. So when you get up to your machine that you use all the time and you look at it and something's a different color or something's kind of out of place, then, you know, just be on the safe side. Don't use it. I mean, just go to another one. We have so many ATMs in our community. I mean, it's not like that's the only one you can use. So if you see something suspicious, just don't take that chance.
How many times can we avoid crimes just by paying attention to that little voice in our head that says, that stranger, you can't trust that guy. You know, this elevator you shouldn't be on, or, you know, that ATM is really not one you should use. Wanted to ask you also, the storm, obviously, landfall was made this morning by Bear Category 1, Hurricane Debby. Are you guys sending anybody to respond?
We are. This afternoon, we are deploying a team of deputies and equipment to Lafayette County, which is one of the poorest counties in Florida. And they took a direct hit. We also, the last hurricane, we deployed to the same county, Lafayette. And we're going back to help Sheriff Lamb. Brian Lamb is the sheriff there. He's requested us personally, and we are going to send a team out there and hopefully be able to help them.
And this is, in case people are kind of new to this, this is a self-contained, self-sufficient group where you're going there to take care of yourself and provide law enforcement, traffic control, looter prevention, any assistance you need to the individuals, whatever they need. But you can't go there and be a drain on resources. You got to take everything you need. You're camping. You know, it's roughing it, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, and we have all kinds of equipment. We take our own kitchen. We take our own bathrooms. We have a trailer that has 8 bathrooms fully equipped, each one. Each stall has a shower, sink, everything. We are totally 100% self-sufficient. They bring chainsaws, heavy equipment, backhoes, everything. And then we start, as soon as they get there, they set up their camp and set up the generators, and then they go out and immediately start helping everybody clear roads and try to get them back to some semblance of normality.
How many are you sending?
The first group to go is a 10-man team, and when they get out there, they assess, and then if they need more, we send another 10-man team.
Gotcha, very good.
Yeah, they make the call once they get there.
And then the last thing is you have a rodeo coming up for the foundation, right?
Yeah, our first annual rodeo. It's going to be here in East Milton, right by the sheriff's office at the complex. And it's going to be Friday and Saturday night. And we're going to have all kinds of great things. We're going to have kids events like mutton busting. And it's a PBA-sanctioned event.
Oh,
so
nice.
If you want to come out and see some bulls and some horses and some stuff, it'll be a great time. We're going to have food trucks there and all the ticket sales and everything goes directly to our 501c3, the Star Foundation.
Well, we always knew that the sheriff had a lot of bull, and you can see it this weekend.
Yes, you can, for 2 days straight.
Sheriff Johnson, thanks for everything you do, keeping us informed, keeping us safe, and spending some time with us every Monday. I appreciate it. And thanks for the foundation giving us a chance to pitch in and give back. We'll look forward to talking to you next week, sir.
Yep, take care, Andrew.